2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. If you wish to follow along, it's on page 1209. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. For we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. This is the word of the Lord.
A couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine posted this on her Facebook page. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. That's a nice sentiment, isn't it? I think I myself put it on my Facebook page a few years ago. It's reputed to be words that came from St. Francis of Assisi, who lived in the 1200s. People nowadays that know about such things say, well, St. Francis probably didn't say that, but he would have, he could have. It was something that he was consistent in his thinking with such a saying. We like this kind of saying. And we like this saying in particular because it reminds us that the gospel is something that is lived. That it's not something that's only printed on pamphlets. It's not only thing that is contained in the creeds and confessions in the back of the songbook. It is something that is incarnated in us, something that lives in us and shines out through us. All the things that we know about Jesus, everything that our souls know is hopeful and healing, everything that points to the kingdom of God needs to be acted out among us in our gestures, in our mannerisms, our decisions about lifestyle and vocation, decisions about friendship and behaviors. This saying reminds us that as followers of Jesus Christ, we represent Him in our homes, we represent Him in our jobs, we represent Him when we're shopping. And people that are around us very often know that we are church-going people. Say, oh, I know her, I know him, and I happen to know that he goes to church on Sunday. I happen to know that he even calls himself a member of Bethel Church. They know that we are Jesus people, that we've cast our lot with him. Now people are watching, and we want to avoid the accusation that we and our fellow believers in Jesus are bald-faced hypocrites. People whose beliefs and whose actions have very little to do with each other. It's a common complaint about Christians, that those that don't call themselves that, level against us. Now, I will say, though, that it's a little bit unfair, you know, to be accused of that kind of thing, because people come to church, and I think you come to church, and I know I come to church, not because I think I'm so super good, not because I'm so pure, not because I'm so righteous. I come to church because I know how broken I am. And I seek out the Lord because I know that He is my only hope. So I don't think I'm so good. And I hope that you don't either. So saying then that you dislike church because of all the hypocrites in it is kind of like saying, I'm so sick of hospitals with all those sick people that are in it. Well, of course that's where sick people are. And of course this is where broken people are. And whether you're in the hospital or you're in the church, you want to get better. You want to be made whole. But still, it's a good saying. Preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words. But I'll tell you something, though. I'm getting a little uncomfortable with this saying. I think there's an element of danger to it. That it's dangerous to our ministry together. It's dangerous to our calling as Christians, people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit to be Christians courageous. To say, preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words, is a little bit like saying, feed the hungry at all times and when necessary, use food. I mean, you read this, you think, well, that's nonsensical. If people are hungry, you have to give them food. And we also would want to say that when you preach the gospel, you have to use words. Good deeds without good words lead to trouble. There are lots and lots of people who act in ways that are consistent with the gospel. When we say, preach the gospel at all times and when necessary, use words, what we're saying is live in such a way that your life is consistent with what the Bible teaches. Well, the fact is, lots and lots of people that do not know Jesus, that would not call themselves Christians in any sort of way, live in a way that we would say is consistent with the gospel. Atheists can be very good neighbors. Practitioners of other religions are honest business people. Those folks will stop and give aid to an injured person. They will donate money to help the homeless. It is true. So who really knows if the good deeds that you do are motivated by the Holy Spirit? Who knows if the kindness that you show to others is driven by values that are taught to you in Scripture and imprinted on your heart by the Spirit? Who knows? Nobody knows the real motivation for any good thing that you do. So to discourage people from actually speaking the words of the gospel and just living it can be dangerous. It also can make us lazy. Isn't it great that the Christian life requires so little of us? All we have to do is be a decent person. All we have to do is show kindness. All we have to do is help somebody out once in a while. All we have to do is obey the law and be people of integrity. And the gospel never asks us to stretch ourselves beyond our comfort zones. Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Really? You know, if you don't use a muscle, that muscle becomes flabby and soft. And after a while, an unused muscle withers and becomes unusable. We have to exercise our faith. We have to step beyond what is easy and simple and non-threatening to us and do what is required by the gospel. The saying that we're talking about can also reinforce our fears. I think a reason that we often don't speak our faith, that we don't talk about what we believe in our hearts to be true, is that we're afraid. We're afraid of sounding dumb. We're afraid of looking like an idiot. We don't want to be somebody that stands out and is accused of being a religious fanatic or a religious nut. And so to spare us from this caricature, because we're afraid of it, we say nothing at all. We just live. We say, oh, I'm going to just be nice. I'm just going to be kind. I'm just going to help the homeless. I'm just going to do these good things, but I'm never going to say what it is, because if I do, I'm going to look like that. Or maybe we're afraid that we're just not good enough. Maybe we think if we're not this guy, then we have no right to say anything at all. Oh, Billy Graham, he was a master. He was. And what an impact he has had on the kingdom. And he's helped many people see Jesus, and we honor him. He's a sick old man now, very old, but he has had a legacy. Thank God for him. But we're not him. We're afraid that if we're not that, then we should say nothing. We shouldn't be afraid of that. Hanging on to that saying, preach the gospel at all times and if necessary use words, can make us fail in our Christian duty. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? What does it mean to be someone who could be called a Christian courageous? It means doing what the gospel requires of us. It means being the kind of person who shows a radical commitment and a radical obedience to the Lord. And that requires more than deeds. The fact is, the gospel has content. For people, the need is there to know what is all about life and death. The fact is, the gospel teaches us that without the grace of God in our lives, we are headed nowhere good. And the stink of death is in the air. People say, I don't need God, I'm just going to do it on my own, then that's a dead-end street. And the gospel says that when the victory of Christ is extended to us, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, we reach for it, and we seize it, and we claim it, and we embrace it, and we say, this is my reality. Then the hope of the fulfilled promise of God is granted to us, and we have the sweet smell of life on us. People will know what we stand for. People will know why we live the way we do. People will know why we seek kindness. People will know why we live with integrity, because we say why we do. When we explain it, when we share it. And if they don't hear it from us, they might not hear it from anyone. I used to be a big fan of friendship evangelism. Friendship evangelism is the theory, the strategy of saying, you know what we need to do, folks? We need to just be really good friends with people. Like, don't have an agenda. Don't hide yourself among only Christians, but become friends with people in your community. Be friends with people at work. Be friends with people in your neighborhood. And in the course of your friendship, then things will come up, and you will talk about your faith in a natural sort of way, and then the Lord will use that and help people come to know Jesus Christ. But one thing that I've noticed is that we are really great at friendship. And we can make friends, and we are friends. We're friends with people we work with. We're friends with people in our neighborhoods. But we're not so good at the evangelism part of it. So often, in our friendships with people that do not know Jesus, we never get to the point of talking about spiritual things. We never get around to it. It could be that we've actually bought into the lie that spiritual things are private things. That it's bad manners for us to talk about our spiritual commitments because, well, my truth is my truth and his truth is his truth. I wonder if we've agreed with the worldly belief that sharing faith is a form of disrespect, that it's arrogance. My faith is better than your faith. If you were as smart as me, you would believe exactly as I do. And so as not to be arrogant and not to be condescending, we don't say anything at all. But we are given the privilege of being the messengers of Christ, the very aroma of Jesus. When we come into a place, Jesus comes there as well. We are the ones who spread the aroma of the knowledge of God. The scripture says, we spread the aroma of the knowledge of God. And to know, you have to hear. Because we are in the lives of our friends, they will know who Jesus is. They will know why he came. They will know that he stands ready to be their Savior, that he has the grace and the mercy to wrap his arms around them too. They will know that because of him, there is a purpose in life. There is a future that we can anticipate with joy. And if that message is ultimately rejected, then the message is bitter. But if the message is accepted and the truth is received and incorporated into their lives, then it is the sweetest thing that ever has happened to them. We are not called to be jerks. It is not the gospel way to speak of things eternal in ways that are harsh or that are unkind or that are arrogant. That is not the Christian way. And if you think that sharing your faith means that you have to be that or be perceived as that, then no, that is not the truth. The gospel is shared gently, sincerely, and clearly as the Holy Spirit enables us. And the fact is that if we can get past our fears, if we can get past our hang-ups, past our shynesses or our misunderstandings about what it means to be a courageous Christian who actually is willing to share what you believe, then know that the gospel is not complicated. God made the world good. Sin messed it all up. God sent Jesus to make it right. And if we give ourselves to him, we are saved. And now we live for him. That's it. That's it. Can you say that? I think you can say that. I think that's not hard. It's not complicated. I'm not asking you to get a graduate degree in theology before you can talk about it. Say, the world got messed up. Jesus came to save it. If we believe in him, then we're saved too, and we have a reason to live. That's it. Not hard. You can do it in a way that is nice, in a way that is kind, in a way that is clear. Now we say that, and it's great that children can share the gospel. New Christians can share that essential truth. And as we go on, as we become disciples of Christ who want to grow deeper in faith, then we discover that what we thought was just a nice lake that we can paddle around in becomes a lake that we can scuba dive in. That we can go down deep and we can discover the wonderful mysteries of God and of his grace and of his kingdom and of his calling to us and all this wonderful stuff. The world could not contain all the books that could be written about the gospel and about our Lord and about all the dimensions of what it means to live as a Christian. And we give thanks to God for that too. So, what does it mean to be a Christian courageous? It means daring to simply say what you know to be true in a nice way. Living right and testifying to the goodness of God about how we live is a huge part of it. I don't want you to hear me saying you don't have to live right. Of course you do. Of course you do. And living wrong, you know, becomes a disqualifier for anything that you say. So please, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. Or better said, preach the gospel at all times, and as well as your actions, use words to explain the reason for the hope that lies within you. Let's speak right, being ready in season and out of season to bring glory to God. God bless you. May we all together be Christians courageous that are not afraid to say what is true and to do what is right. You join me in prayer. Father, thank you for the gospel and thank you for your Spirit. Help us, we pray, that we can be the people obedient and courageous. Amen.